This is News Director Larissa Donovan continuing on the Meet the Candidates roads ahead of the primary on Tuesday, August 9th. That's coming up quick. And joining me in the studio to visit with me is a no stranger to our studios. Is this your first time running for the at-large seat, Ron?
It is. I've been at Ward 3 representatives since 2001. And I just 2 years ago, I just was elected to a four-year term to represent Ward 3.
Right, and then the redistricting process earlier this year drew you out of Ward 3, yeah. But you could still have served until through the end of your term in 2024, right?
Yeah, I still can.
Okay.
You know, I have to do something in 2024. I'd either have to move a block north and stay in my ward or get off the council, or else run against the sitting councilor in Ward 1 because there will be two of us in that. Or I could run for at-large, which is what I'm doing right now. Where I could, you say represent the entire city, but you represent the entire city whether you're a ward or not. You're just elected from a certain area of town, and this way I would represent Ward 3 and all the other wards.
Right, and why don't we start with a little bit about your background? I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with you, but maybe for those who don't know, what are you like, Ron?
Well, I'm actually born and raised right here in Bemidji. I was born just a few blocks west of the City Hall on 4th Street, and I graduated from Bemidji High School. And even though I'm a graduate of Alexandria Technical College for Commercial Art and Brown Institute for Radio and TV Broadcasting, I am also a graduate of Bemidji State University. I graduated in 1975 there, and then I worked as a grad assistant when I was working on a master's, and then I have worked about 4 or 5 years as an adjunct a few years ago now, helping to establish the graphic design program, which is a big program up there now. It didn't exist. Because I had a graphic design background, I helped the instructors back then get that started. And then probably the biggest thing with the university was in 2010, I was named an outstanding alumni. For some of the work that I've done, I think, with curriculum, possibly the event center, and also with public television, which I also have been a part of since 1979. I moved up from St. Paul to help start this PBS station, which is at the time was just six of us. And we got it going on June 1st, 1980, and at the time it was on the air 3 to 11, one channel, in Bemidji, and now we operate six 24-hour-a-day channels, and we have studios in Bemidji and Brainerd, and we started with a staff of six when I started, and now we have almost 36 people in both locations, so, but I've been with them, it'll be 43 years in September, and so that's where a lot of people know me from, because I've been on the air a lot asking for pledge dollars and things like that. So,
well, I always enjoy meeting the news reporters rounds.
Yep. And news was a big thing. You know, we didn't have it, and it's very expensive to do, but that was one other thing we got going. So,
very expensive, thankless work, I can tell you that.
Yeah. And they have strange hours, don't they?
Oh, yeah, the weirdest. Well, let's talk a little bit about city issues.
Sure.
I mean, Bemidji is a small city, but it has some big city challenges.
It does.
Poverty,
it does.
Crime, housing, transportation.
Yep.
What are some of your ideas to address some of our big picture issues?
Well, you know, you mentioned crime. You know, opioid epidemic has really hit this town big time. You know, I actually had the opportunity to serve. I'm the president of the League of Minnesota Cities this year, and last year when I was vice president, I was appointed to an opioid task force by the attorney general, and I learned a lot more about opioids than I ever knew, and in some cases surprised me a lot. And in talking with our chief, Maston, we average 2 overdoses a week. You know, that's an awful lot. I didn't realize that was happening. And oftentimes, many of them are fatal. And not only are you dealing with the opioid and the victim, but you also need to kind of, there's a criminal aspect to it too. And so, you know, I just didn't realize it was that bad at the time anyway. I have since found out a lot more about it. But so I think that we need to help our police department. He could use an extra person on the drug task force. And we just had a meeting not too long ago with our legal You know, there's a problem where we're not getting those cases prosecuted. And I'm not so sure the drug issue is one thing, but I think a lot of the related smaller crimes, the thefts and stuff, I think that's because of the opioids too, getting the dollars to buy the drugs. So we do have to address that. I think that helping Chief Mastin getting the people that he needs, and maybe taking a more aggressive look at prosecuting the people we are picking up, because those are issues that we need to get our handle around.
Right, and you know, some big ticket items coming down. Coming to our area, some new, more affordable housing with the Puddle Duck.
Yeah, Puddle Duck. Yeah, I always call it the TIF district south
of
town. You know,
right?
Yeah, and housing is a buzzword. It's a big problem for all cities. When I was traveling the state with the league the last couple of years, talking to cities, they're all having housing issues a lot because people are returning to their hometown. Oftentimes, they can work remotely now. Or the baby boomers who left to go to the big city to work, now are wanting to retire at their hometown, probably their lake cabin or whatever. And so housing is just an issue all across the state. In Bemidji, I feel that we've been pretty proactive with it. You know, with the first-time homeowners and affordable housing, or actually housing, the Conifer Estates has really helped that, and that's part of an HRDC project, and I'm on the HRDC. So we're addressing that segment of the population, I think, as good as any city is. And like you said, with the Puddle Duck, with the TIF district, it's got to be built out, but part of getting TIF is to be able to offer affordable housing, and there has to be that component of it, and that's single family and multifamily in that whole development. So that's another one. You know, we have been working pretty in good partnership with Habitat for Humanity. I think there's better things we could do there, because we have a lot of lots that we could maybe, if we got more aggressive, condemning lots and maybe smaller lots, and you know, we have the city infrastructure to a lot of neighborhoods that maybe if we were able to replat it, you know, tear down some homes that are probably need to be tore down, and then build developments right in within our city. That could be a way of rejuvenating and having more housing stock. But even some of the high-end housing that's happening, like in the South Shore with apartments and condos, you're seeing the boomers that are downsizing, and they're leaving their homes and opening that up for affordable housing for workers that are coming to town, or families that need to expand. And so I think we're doing a better job than a lot of cities. It's always an issue, but I like the fact that we are being a little proactive in that area.
Transportation's a big thing across America. You know, we spend a lot of money on roads.
Oh, yeah.
We spend a lot of money on roads. But, you know, not everybody in our community has a car to use these roads. What are your ideas about bridging some of these transportation gaps that are, you know, can be a big barrier for people trying to get employment, trying to get to their child care, et cetera?
Well, you know, we've been doing a very, very good job with trails, you know, and I think that a lot of people are starting to use other means of transportation. And, you know, Bemidji's a small town. You can get around, and now they're biking in the wintertime. You know, I bike a lot. I bike around the lake every day when I can.
But the wind chills get to you, huh, Ron?
Yeah,
a bit?
Yeah, but I see those big fat tires on those bikes, and so I know there are a lot of people who bike all year round. You know, and I think public transportation, you know, it's, you know, I can remember when we had a city bus. You know, when I was in high school, you could take the bus on, pick it up on 4th Street and take it up to the high school. And so we don't have that, but we have a pretty good transit, I think, for the times right now. Times have changed a little bit. But, you know, the roads are key to getting industry. You know, and I know there's the idea of having the four lane all the way up from Minneapolis. And
I haven't heard about that one in years.
Well,
but it's coming back, huh?
Well, I think that, you know, it's really nice to have it go all the way to Jenkins now. And
right.
Then, you know, and then when you get to Cass Lake on four lane. So, I mean, you're really not that far away from it. But, you know, there's nice highways that go, you know, from Grand Forks over to Duluth, too. But I know that, if you have transportation, and that includes air, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that the fact that we have a growing airport and we have a chance to expand our aviation, general aviation, that's all helps industry, because industry is all about getting shipping, getting things in, and getting material. So I think the key to growing our industrial park and the industries in Bemidji is transportation. That's very much an important part of it.
The Sanford Center has been a large focus of my candidate interviews in years past, but it seems like the community conversation has tempered down a bit on that with ever since the new management of the Sanford Center, ASM Global.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the direction the Sanford Center is going? Any more room for improvement, you think?
Well, they're still just getting started, so I don't know. I mean, we do have an agreement that says they have to meet their benchmarks, or we might be looking for a different one. And I think that they're serious about the what they gave us. And if they make those, at least the deficit part of our issue with the Sanford Center should go away or significantly get reduced. I mean, even when we pulled the agreement from the last developer, it took them less than a day to knock $250,000 off it. So, I mean, I don't think we were being aggressive enough with our last management company, because we found when we interviewed that most of these centers don't make money if you throw everything in, but the operation in most cases tends to cash flow at these places, and some make money. Some make a good amount of money. They're saying that this thing in 3 years could be making some money, which could go toward the other part, the other expense, which is the upkeep. And had we had that kind of stuff happening when we first built it, we could have been having a pool of money, if we were making any profit off it, to handle it. You don't have the upkeep with a new building, but now this building is getting over 10 years old and things are starting to break and need to get fixed up. But I do think that we have at least appeared to have addressed that issue, which we'll see. At least we do have it in our agreement that if they don't make those marks, then we can get out of it. We expect them to make what they said they're going to do.
Now, in a similar vein, but not quite, the Sanford Health Wellness Center idea
mm-hmm.
won't be owned by the city, but will be placed on city property that's in a bit of rough shape.
Well, it's that railroad corridor.
Yeah.
it's been sitting there since most of my time on the council, which is close to 22 years.
Right. I was a couple years back. I'm like, wow, the rail corridor discussion is now a legal adult. That was a few
yeah,
years ago.
Right, yeah. Right. And here's a chance to actually make what is pretty much just an abandoned area of the downtown a very vibrant part of the downtown. And you're right. The project, the way it's presented to us, we're not going to own it, and we're not going to have to operate it. Our responsibility will really be providing the infrastructure, and I think that we'll be able to easily do that through grants and through TIF and tax increment financing. And that's the beauty, because we do have to replace most of the infrastructure in downtown. It's probably some of our oldest that we have, and that has got to be replaced anyway. And if we do this addition, that can happen under TIF and not under the general taxes of the city. So that would be a really good time to do that. So it not only will the Wellness Center, I think, just add to our downtown and add to the health and recreation of the city folks, but it's going to be a good cost savings for the city too, because that infrastructure will need to be new and it'll need to be big enough to handle what they're going to be putting down there.
Now, with the revitalization of the area through this potential project, there is some concern about gentrification. I mean, I live really close to downtown and mm-hmm. I like it because it's nice and affordable for me. But, there are those of us who might be a little worried that, such a revitalization is going to up our property values and therefore our taxes, our rent, and things like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I suppose that could happen down there, but then again, it might be, if it's more vibrant, it might be more safer, and it might be a lot more amenities. You know, it could bring back, some of the things that used to be downtown that went away because there wasn't the traffic. So, I think that that could help. There could be improvements to businesses and improvements. So you don't live in an apartment down there, but, you know, you live in a house close to downtown, but... I think there's ways of dealing with that, and being aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that can be a concern, but it also could really help and make more appealing some of those housing that right now are not the most appealing place to live. So I think it could be a big thing. You know, it was where the event center was originally supposed to go a few years ago.
Oh, really? A few years?
Well, we were looking for sites. We were talking about the high school site,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about down there. They needed so much space that they were going to have to tear down a lot of businesses, and it was just not enough space to really have it and have the parking for it. But when we decided to move it out to the South Shore, the downtown was very, very upset because they looked at this as a way to really enhance the downtown. And they kind of have the same excitement about this as they did back then. So a lot of that support for the Sanford Center there it's the same supporters for the Sanford Health Center. So I'm excited about it. I mean, it's pretty much a win-win-win for the city. If it happens the way it's supposed to, if those things don't happen, then I imagine that the project might not happen.
Right.
But we should know soon. I know they're doing it. We should be hearing within a few months whether or not the project's going to be moving forward. They're after some grants, mm-hmm. cleanup grants, because there is some contamination down there. But I think it's an exciting project, and there's a lot of people who want to invest in it. So, and Sanford is giving us over $10 million to help with it. So,
yeah, that's a big piece of it.
Oh,
Anything else about your campaign before we wrap it up today, Ron? You've been on the council a long time, born and practically raised here in Bemidji. Anything else you wanted people to know about you and why they should vote for you?
Well, I think that We have a very new council right now, and I was with our mayor and council member Thayer, and bringing them along with the coalition, because that's a very good organization and we need to have continuity there. I was brought along when I first got on. I think it's good to have a senior member on there. I thought it was good to have two. When Nancy and I were both running 2 years ago, I said that was a big thing, is we're going to have a lot of new people on there, but it's good to have a little bit of experience too. I'm connected fairly well. I'm very connected with the coalition, and being president of the League of Minnesota Cities, that's 837 cities that I'm actually the president of, and I'm getting around to a lot of them over the last couple of years, and this year will be a busy year too. But I think that the experience is the most important, some context, some continuity. I do know a lot of people, and people like you.
For better or worse.
Like that, yeah. And so I just think that I'm just very familiar with the town, and frankly, I've never ever thought about running for at large until this redistricting thing happened, but I've actually lived in three of the five wards over the course of my life, so I know the town pretty well, and I have relatives that live in all of them, brothers and sisters and cousins and nieces and nephews, so I do know the city very well, and I think that I would be a familiar face, and I think it could help what is a very, very new council.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. Ron Johnson, candidate for Bemidji City Council at large.